Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a special show, one that I'm very much looking forward to. This is a guest we had back in the past, and it was just an eye-opening experience. And full disclosure, I have pets, and I actually used her services, and it was one of the best things I've ever done because it gave me such a real-world view of what my pets are, and it was just, it strengthened our bond. And what it made me think of is the pet kingdom, the animal kingdom is just, it's brilliant. And it's a kingdom that we need to take a page from because they don't hold grudges. They live in the moment. And I think that's a skill that we all as humans can learn since we've been under siege for, it seems like in just forever, but it's sapping us. It's sapping our humanity. It's sapping our energy. It's making us sick. And I think we, again, need to revisit, going back to basics. And it's all about energy. And today we're going to speak with Miss Ginny Brandon. And she is the owner of Soul Pet Connections. And she has created her business born from a deep yearning to connect with animals and nature. She spent her life and a journey finding the truest meaning of connection with all things by becoming an animal communicator and energy healer. From her understanding that all things are alive and have an energy of their own, she's helped her clients see their beloved animals through the new eyes, bringing peace and harmony to their relationships. And I can speak personally to that because it happened for me. So, Ms. Brandon, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, because today our conversation, it goes beyond the animal kingdom. It talks about us as human beings. So welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's start from the beginning. I think you just have a unique gift and one that's God-given. And I'm curious, how did you fall into this? Because this is an extremely important niche, but not most people think about it.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a funny story. And I think how many of us find our gifts is we lose them first. So I didn't have animals growing up. But I wanted them, and horses in particular, I was always drawn to. I took art classes as a kid and pretty much have sketchbooks full of horses and animals and things that I wanted to draw. So when I became an adult, of course, you get to make your own decisions. And I started with two dogs, mostly by accident, and then ended up with a horse, and things were not as rosy as I hoped. I had a lot of struggles, and, you know, this being almost 20 years ago now, the internet isn't what it was or what it is now then. And, I ended up stumbling into animal communication and worked with an animal communicator. And she, just like you said, really opened my eyes to, the connections that were available to me if I was willing to, work on them and to learn to connect that way. And so for me, it's been a journey of learning, and there's been a lot of tears shed in the process. But that's why I do what I do for my clients, because through that process, I came to learn the skills that I needed to really connect with my pets on a different level. And it's changed my relationship with my animals. And that's what I hope to share with my clients, is to be able to give them the same thing. We tend to struggle a little bit more than we need to as humans, and our pets often have the keys to help us find more ease and pleasure and fun and joy in our lives, but we have to be willing to ask and look for it. So that's why I'm here today.
Well, that's a great thing too. That's a great gift. And I, you know, from the standpoint of healthcare, we really struggle with being able to disengage our minds from all the negativity. It seems like people can't see what's in front of them. It's either what happened in the past, what's going to happen, but it's not what's actual, what's real. And to me, last time we had our conversation, it was interesting how you described how pets are in the moment, literally. They don't think of what happened, they don't think of what's coming, but they're enjoying every single morsel of time that they have as they live it. That is such... That's a gift. I mean, human beings, if we could just do that, without attaching all sorts of emotions to it in a way. And I'm curious, pets do obviously feel emotion, but it's not the same as it is with us, is it?
No, you're right. It is very different. And you're absolutely right. They are 100% in the moment right now. They're not worried about yesterday or tomorrow or what might happen. The easy way to explain it is we like to spin stories. We like to attach meaning to everything. And for our pets, emotions don't mean the same thing. Even pain doesn't mean something. For humans, our response, pain is a good example because we have an emotional response to pain. We make it mean something. You know, it either means that we're not able to do what we used to do, or we're thinking about what we're missing out on, or how hard things might be if we're in pain. And for animals, it just is. There's no meaning attached to that. And that's true of almost all of the emotions. And it's true of the interactions. They don't take anything personally. It just is. And if we can learn to experience our emotions without attaching meaning or needing to have a response, it would make our lives a lot easier. We wouldn't get so stuck and struggle so much because we don't have to tell stories about everything, and we can feel something and then allow it to be that and then go on. It's kind of like experiencing the weather. You know, if it's windy and the wind's blowing against your face, you're not going to change the wind no matter what you say or do. And it's pretty futile to put energy into trying to do that. You could put more clothes on. You could put a scarf on or a hat, which might make you more comfortable, but you're not going to change the wind. You know, the wind is just what it is. So learning to experience things as they are and then, you know, make adjustments. Like I said, hat, scarf, those are great tools to use. But we don't need to attach any meaning to it. The wind isn't angry at us, or the wind isn't mad that we came outside, or, you know, there's no meaning behind that. And it's when we attach meaning to things that we can get tangled up and bogged down and really stuck in whatever's happening around us.
Well, it seems it's very pure, right? So there's no quid pro quo. There's no, if I do something for you, you'll do it for me.
Exactly. Kind of. Yeah. So,
but I want to, you know, I want to clarify, they do love us. You know, we have a relationship with our pet. They look forward to us coming home. We have a relationship with them. So from that standpoint, they are able, or are they able to feel that type of energetic connection where, you know, we're the companion just as much as they are for us?
Yes, absolutely. So they feel love on a level that most of us barely get a taste of. And I believe that that's actually the way the universe is built, that that's the way everything is built. It's built on this foundation of love. Again, without agenda and without taking anything personally. Nature can be pretty brutal and pretty tough. You know, like winters can be hard. Weather can be difficult. Predators and, you know, other physical challenges to animals and plants alike, you know, can be hard, but yet it's still built on a foundation of love. So there's no meaning behind the challenge, behind the difficulty. That's just life. But yet through it all, there's threads of love that are woven in there. And our animals absolutely feel love and feel love for us. Like I said, I have felt snippets of it, and it's incredible. It's peaceful. It's expansive. And like you said, it's absolutely pure. And so they want to share that with us. I think that's part of why they want to connect with us so much, is they want to share, they want us to feel that. And that's part of why they're here and they're with us. Is to give us a taste of that, because they have access to it in a way that we have to really work at. and be intentional at, not necessarily work at, but be really intentional about experiencing life from that feeling place.
Wow. That's a really good place to take our first break, because that's so deep. It's very intense. And I just feel you're right. We're just skimming over it. And it's almost like it's authentic in a way. I just want to, delve into that when we come back. So let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Miss Ginny Brandon. And before the break, you made a really just an eye-opening observation about our animals, our pets' connection with the divine, it sounds like, because they're able to, it's not filtered, it's real. And I tried to make a statement, and I'm sure I didn't say it correctly, but humans have so many filters. It's so many, if I act a certain way, then I expect a different result or an emotion. If I don't get it, then there's all these things that we do to hide who we are, to me, sometimes. And being genuine and real and vulnerable is a very difficult thing for people to be able, it's skill, I think, that people are able to learn, where the pets don't have that. It's straight, unfiltered, this is what you get, let it all hang out. It's very, very freeing, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. You're right. They don't take anything personally. If another horse in the herd doesn't want to hang out, then that's okay. Tomorrow might be different. And it's just a moment by moment, totally pure in the moment experience of the universe and energy. They're always connected energetically. So even when you're not with your pet, you're still connected energetically, even if you're not aware of it. That's often why we have challenges with our pets, is because our energy is getting tangled up to the point where it's affecting them. And, they're going to react to it because they're in it with us and they live with us. And so they can't get away from how we're feeling either. And when we get bogged down, it's going to bog them down a little bit, but they're going to be able to get quickly back to love as soon as we also help set our energy into a better place as well.
Is there something that, a place that people can begin to release that and make that connection with their pet? I mean, we all feed them, we love them, but how can we bridge that gap? Is it just being silent, being not trying to control something and let it come to you in terms of pet interactions? Because everybody who has a pet, I'm sure, would love to be able to connect with their pet in a different way, that they can just be silent, be with each other, but have this energy that passes back and forth.
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're absolutely on the right track. Meditation is usually one of the first things that I recommend. Our pets love it when we meditate. Cats, you can watch cats. A lot of times you'll see them and they'll look like they're sleeping. But especially if you know your cat really well, you're like, you're not sleeping, are you? And they're meditating. And even dogs will do it and horses do it. And you can kind of tell when they just settle into a space where they're not asleep, but they're not awake. And they do it naturally. And for us, it's a skill that we sometimes have to work very hard at because our brains are so busy. But learning to quiet that is helpful. So honestly, even anything that you can do to quiet your brain and your mind that allows you to release anything that's stuck and pent up. I also am a firm believer that most of us don't move around enough. We don't, it's not even just exercise, but just body movement. We are beings designed to move. That's how our bodies are built. We're not really beings designed to sit and stay still for super long periods of time. And I think one of the reasons that we do get energetically stuck is because we don't move enough. So it's a balance of learning to sit still and be quiet, but also getting enough movement that our bodies can move energy. Exercise and things is also about the movement of energy. Emotions are emotion, energy in motion. And so when we don't move around enough, of course, our emotions are going to get stuck and we're going to get bogged down in whatever's going on around us. I think a lot of people felt that at the beginning of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Everything was locked down and everyone's like, I can't leave my house. I can't move around. It's like, well, that's how your pet lives every day. So it's a little bit of a perspective that, oh, you know, they're experiencing that. And how does my pet cope with it? Well, they get zoomies every now and then, or, you know, they do act out, or they get super excited and can't contain themselves. And I think sometimes we just get too stuck in being still and focusing on whatever we're focusing on, and not enough time is spent moving our bodies and being in our body, and then sitting down and being silent to stop that crazy flow from constantly bombarding us and get some release from that.
And then another way to think about it is, can you interact with your pets in a way to tap in? So this is using your interaction and your relationship as medicinal, right? People who have anxiety, people who can't sleep, people who are, it's not balanced, not centered. Is there a way, or do you find that people can have that relationship with their pet in a way that it's helping them tap into that energy and release and balance and go outside of themselves? I think there's a little bit of selfishness on our part, human part. We're just center of the universe and everything revolves around us. And maybe that's a skill that we could learn too. But I wonder if having that interaction and relationship with your pet that can be medicinal. I mean, you see children, autistic children, for example, who have horse interactions, the seniors in nursing homes when pets come through, it just changes their whole personality.
Yeah, I really believe that that's part of why a lot of us do have pets, is we're craving that connection. We're craving that energetic presence and that way of being that we don't naturally gravitate to anymore. And so that's, I think, why we do keep animals and pets for ourselves, is they make us feel good. And, you know, again, the meditation, even exercising and playing with your pet, those are all ways to deepen the connection and really have that stronger bond so that you can receive the information from them. They're always communicating, you know, and even in my work, it's a blend of a combination of receiving information intuitively and telepathically, and then picking up on the subtle nuances from the owners and, you know, learning about the personalities of the pets and piecing all of that stuff together. And that's what most pet owners do. Like, you do know your pet. You know your pet better than I do. You live with them, you know, and you know your pet better than the vet does. And so when something seems off, listening to that is important, but you can also take that bond and continue to deepen it and purposefully receive information. It is challenging to get out of our own way. Like, that's one of the big challenges with being a human being in the first place, is we always, our brains want to busy, 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 you know, we can't stop thinking about things. But sitting down and meditating, especially if your pet is close by, a lot of times my cats will come and sit near me or sit on me. And it's even better if you can do it when you know your pets are going to be more relaxed. So after exercise or a walk, or my cats love to nap in the middle of the day. So finding a time when they're already going to be chilled out and relaxed is definitely ideal. And then just get really, really quiet. And, you know, focus on the love you share with them and you feel with them. And, you know, imagine just being connected together, you know, imagine like pretty colors, connecting your hearts together or whatever feels good. Just follow that. And then just remain open. And you never know. The more you know your own intuition and your own sort of internal guidance system, the easier it is to hear other things that come through. So, you know, my own internal intuition sounds a certain way and feels a certain way to me. And then when the pets come in, they feel different. It's not my own energy. And so the better you know yourself, the better you can get connected with those around you, because they feel different. They sort of sound different in your head. The thoughts that pop in, you know, sound different. I have several funny stories about that. I ran a boarding barn for a number of years, and I boarded an Arabian gelding who was pretty old, but he didn't act old and he didn't feel old, like energetically. Everyone was always surprised when they found out how old he was. And when he first arrived, he didn't like to come up to the barn. it was scary up there. So he would stay at the back of the field where there was another field behind it with other horses in it. So he was staying closer to the other horses. And I had two other horses. So there were just the three of them in the field. And one day I went out to get them. And I knew if I grabbed the boss horse, as well as the new horse, that the third horse was going to come with us because he wasn't going to be left alone. Mm-hmm. And I had had trouble leading the new horse in a couple times, and he would stop and plant his feet and put his head way up in the air. And I looked at him one day and I said, "Stop it. You look like a mule." I'm like, "We have to go to the barn. You have to get your meal. Like, we have to eat. Like, you can't stay out here." So when I went to get all three of them that day, the boss horse, who's actually mine, stopped and didn't want to walk. And sure as loud as day, I heard in my head, "It's his turn to look like a mule." And I turned around and said, "No one's looking like a mule. We have to go eat. Let's go." So when you get familiar with your own sort of internal dialogue and how your own intuition and sort of chatter sounds, then when they pop in, it's pretty clear.
So it sounds like it, to some degree, it may be a skill that you can actually, if you spend time and really dig deep, you can probably enhance this skill. I mean, is this something everybody could have if they really, take a step away from?
Yeah, I believe it is. I believe that we're all energetic beings. We're souls in a human body. We're not bodies with a soul. I think we're souls with bodies. And because we're all made of energy, our animals and everything around us is energetic, we can tap into that. It takes practice because our current world and our culture and the way we're habituated does not lead to this naturally. But I think that that's how we used to be. I mean, we are animals, and we started as, nomadic peoples and, many, many thousands of years ago. And that's how we lived too. And we've forgotten, but our pets haven't. And I think, like I said earlier, that's one of the reasons that they want to connect with us is I think they're trying to remind us of what we have access to. There is so much more information that we have access to that most of us don't even realize is there. But when we get quiet and when we learn what our own internal dialogue sounds like, this whole new world opens up that gives us so much. It enriches everything around us.
I think that that's a skill that society absolutely needs. On that note, let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Miss Ginny Brandon, and her website is soulpetconnections.com. And on there, you can read about her services, about how she started, and it's a wealth of information. And I know that people who have pets, from a practical standpoint, people who have issues with their pets not getting along or not taking care of the house, if they're messing around the house and that sort of thing. It's one of those things that frustrate owners, I think, sometimes. But there's a bigger picture. And I think from your standpoint, there's always a reason that they're not doing what we want them to do. And that's a service that you offer as well, right? When you get a new pet, if the others aren't getting along with them or the pet is acting out, there are services that you can actually ask you for your help and then correct the problem, right?
Yeah. And honestly, I think that's how most pet owners find me. I wish that weren't necessarily true, but most people do come to me because there's a problem in the house. They're struggling with something with their pet and they need help. And either they haven't found any other answers anywhere or sometimes a vet can't help them and they're just desperate. Because, I think the reason I got pets, I told you I didn't have them and then I got them when I was an adult. And the reason I wanted them was for all the happy, rosy things, right? I wanted to be able to take dogs and go on adventures and go on walks. And it was not like that at all. I had a 35-pound dog and about a 70-pound dog, and they were disasters. It was embarrassing when people came to visit because they were crazy. They'd jump everywhere and bark constantly. And I couldn't take them on walks because they would pull me so hard I couldn't control them. And it was not fun. It was not at all what I had dreamed. And like I said, that's how I ended up doing this work, because I was introduced to an animal communicator and one thing led to another. But what I discovered is, number one, they needed more exercise anyway. And that's often where we can start when we have behavioral challenges, is just play more with our pets, give them enrichment, stimulate their mind and their brain. As I said before, everyone knows what it feels like to be locked down during the beginning of the pandemic, and they live that. You know, they live their, your house or your space, however big it is all that they have. And for many animals, I mean, I even have friends who have cats that are allowed to roam, and they're astonished how far they go. You know, I have a friend who has a tracker on her cat, and the cat frequently goes 3/4 of a mile or more away from their home. And so our pets wouldn't choose to live in the tiny spaces they're in. So exercise is a great place to start, you know, with anything. And sometimes with dogs, it can be hard, you know, when they're pulling on the leash and they're not well behaved. But what ended up happening for me is I moved to a house where there was no fenced yard, and I had to walk them to a space where we had a fence put up so that they could be in an enclosed area and, you know, kind of run around on their own. And so we had to walk on a leash out of the house every time they needed to go pee. And guess what? They got really good at it. And in the end, you know, they were 12 years old when they learned to walk on leashes. So you can teach old dogs new tricks, including me, you know? So doing the hard things sometimes are one of the keys. And in that process, whatever it is that's frustrating, we can't get wrapped up in the emotion of it. Because when we're emotionally triggered, you know, my dog's jerking on me on the leash brought up all sorts of stuff for me. If I'm being really honest, you know, with myself, it was scary. It was hard. I was afraid I was going to get hurt. I was afraid they were going to get hurt if they got loose. And so then I would feel anxious. Well, what are they receiving from me when we're out on a walk if I feel anxious? Well, they're feeling anxious. So no wonder we couldn't walk anywhere, because I was a ball of nerves and they were like, well, if you're worried, then there must be something to worry about.
Got you. So it goes both ways.
Yeah. Oftentimes we don't realize in challenging behavioral situations, we don't realize that we're contributing to the general energy. The same is true of barking dogs, or even cats that can get really neurotic about certain things, or, you know, want to claw furniture a lot or something. Oftentimes if we check in and we're really brutally honest with ourselves, if our energy is crazy or is not in a good place, is unbalanced, or we've been stressed by some big event in our lives, they're feeling that. And so a lot of times these things can resolve, you know, just through one session with me, we can put together a plan for how to deal with them. You know, and it always ends up being a combination of, okay, well, how can we add some more exercise and mental stimulation into the game for the pet? And then how can we work on the human, you know, feeling much more neutral about whatever's going on? Because it's not about us. Like if they're barking about something, they're just excited or whatever. It's what dogs do. You know, cats have a need to claw and play and climb on things. Like that's normal. So figuring out how to just be okay, you know, when they do something, so that when you make a correction, you're not stuck in the energy of what you don't want. Because that's generally where we make the mistake, right? We're like, we yell at the dog to stop barking, but what's really going through our head is, oh, you're barking so much. So what is our pet receiving? Only information about barking. They're not receiving any information about what they should do instead. And we get hung up on the barking. And so they're like, well, all you're thinking about is barking. I guess I'm just going to keep barking. It must be what you want.
That's pretty funny. It's interesting. It's kind of the opposite of what you would expect. But that connection, it goes both ways, as we said a second ago. But the human side of it is probably, from what you described, just as important. You've set the energy in your home, right? So if your energy is in any way not balanced or toxic, it's going to flow in a way that you don't want.
Yeah. And the bottom line is, I don't even know whether I would say it's more important or just even just equal, but the real bottom line is we are the only things we can control. we can ask our pets to do things and we can want them to do things, but we can't truly control them. And so if we start with ourselves first, it's amazing how many changes and shifts can happen without us doing anything else at all. For the longest time, I still didn't give my dogs enough exercise. And yet the more I did for myself, the less behavior problems I had with them, even in the house, like when company would come over, or, you know, when we would do things, the less issues I had with them, the more work I did for myself.
So it sounds to me too, one of the benefits of pets is that it makes you have to be better to actually learn about yourself. It's not passive. It's not. It's something that is interactive, give and take. But it seems, from my experience and from what you're saying yourself, it benefits both the human and the pet. I mean, this is a win-win situation.
Yeah, it really is. And we have to be willing to look, and we have to be willing to ask ourselves hard questions and sit with uncomfortable feelings. It's pretty darn uncomfortable to realize that, gee, maybe I'm the reason that my dog won't stop acting crazy. You know, and that's not to say that it's 100% on us, but like I said, we're the only thing we can control. So we have to take 100% ownership for our energy and where we are before we can expect any changes from anything else around us. So that's where I start, because I'm the only thing that can change for sure in this situation. And, but it is mutually beneficial. When we feel better, they feel better. And if they're feeling good, then we're going to feel good. So learning to just flow with the energy and balance each other out. I use my cats kind of as a barometer. Like, they tell me when I'm not doing good. And it's usually in the way I don't want, right? Like, that's the hard part. It's just like, it's like the last straw. I've got a lot on my plate. Stressful stuff's going on. And what do? They get into something, or they destroy something, or, you know, they make a mess, or, you know, they're running around when I don't want them to, or something. And I'm like, okay. That's my signal. Like, I need to go take some time for me, sit my butt down, and, you know, focus on meditating and focusing on balance things out. Maybe even exercise for myself. Maybe I need to do some yoga or go out and ride my bike or whatever, you know, go walk in the woods. Maybe I need to do something to make sure that my energy is moving, as well as the meditation piece. But yeah, they tell me very clearly when I'm not like balanced and in line. They put me back in line really fast.
I think that's a wonderful observation. And if it could only be extrapolated to the human side, it's so easy, because the pet doesn't have an ulterior motive. It doesn't have camouflage emotionally. Yeah. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
So that one thing that the pets teach us is you can only control yourself. You can't control anybody else. I think that would be a great lesson to learn to expand on the human side. Because I think if people felt that way, they wouldn't be so interested and hurt by and need to somehow control other people. It never works. It just makes you feel worse.
Yes. Yeah, and you're totally right. And even with humans, the bottom line is still the same, that another person's behavior is more a reflection of them than it is of you. And so even when someone does something that is mean to us or rude to us or, you know, not nice, like if I'm being really honest, the times that I've been kind of nasty and rude, I was having a bad day, and it wasn't even about whatever just happened. It wasn't about, you know, the line being too long in the grocery store or someone else making a mistake. You know, and if I'm truly honest, that's where I was. So me being rude and nasty was me. It wasn't the other person. I could have handled situations, you know, a million different ways that would not have inflicted that on someone else. So, you know, knowing that, if we took other people's behavior less personally and more at face value as information about where they are in their own life and in that moment, it would make things a lot easier, you know? And like I said, the same applies. Like, if we can give our animals that kind of grace, you know, it's like trying to be angry at the wind. It doesn't work, you know? So if you can just allow other people's experiences to be whatever they are, just like the wind blows whatever way it wants to blow, it's not about you. you know, then it frees us up to be able to just observe more and be present with what is without needing to do anything or to change ourselves in response.
I think that's an excellent place to stop and think about that, because it'd make us a much better, it'd give us a much better world to live in. On that note, let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking again with Miss Ginny Brandon. And, you know, I just love your style. It's just so relaxing and calming and empowering. And it just makes you feel like, I got this. I have control. It doesn't matter what comes at me. I have the resources and the ability to have, to see it for what it is and for what I can't control, and to control myself, quite frankly, so I don't let it suck my energy. Because I'm learning so much about everything from a medical standpoint, social standpoint. We've really been pushed and pulled in a very extreme emotional, physical directions. And either you can let it take you and feel just powerless and hopeless, or you can say, I'm not going to let this happen to me. I'm going to take control, and I'm going to control what I can, or I'm going to withdraw my consent and just not let it emotionally affect me. And the pets are just, again, such a wonderful, you can just see how they operate and try to learn something from them. And I'm curious, I love animals, and I'm just curious in terms of the different types of animals. Do they get along? Are they able to communicate with each other? It seems like they can cats can, obviously. And I had a cat and a dog, and they hung out, and it was like a brother and sister. But is that something that, is it just, we're just anthropomorphizing things, or do they really connect and communicate with each other?
Yeah, I believe they absolutely do. And I think part of it is because they just experience the world differently. Like, they are connected to everything. And I don't talk to every dog that I see walking down the street. You know, I kind of liken it to being in a restaurant or being in a mall or a place, you know, where there's lots of people around. If I wanted to, I could listen to conversations around me all the time. You know, I could listen to the table next to me or the people behind me or someone walking in front of me. I could interject if I felt like it, because, you know, there's nothing really stopping me. There's nothing preventing me from engaging with the people around me. But 99% of the time, I choose not to. And it's funny, if you are in a public place and you actually get quiet and start listening, it's amazing how many different conversations that you can hear and all sorts of information flowing around you that we just tune out. So energetically, we tune things out because we don't receive all this information, and it's still there. That doesn't change the fact that it is still there. So, you know, our pets can be connected to each other. They can be connected to us. You know, there's lots of stories of pets doing things before an owner arrives home when there was no physical way that pet could have known, like erratic schedules, you know, changes in schedule. There's a beautiful story. I believe it's in the book, The Elephant Whisperer, if I'm not mistaken. And these elephants are on a reserve. So acres and acres and acres of land. And, like, you know, they can't see them most of the time. And the gentleman who ran the preserve, you know, he would travel. And like clockwork, the elephants would be near the main hub, the lodge, when he would come back home. And there was a trip at one point in time where he got delayed. And someone, this is when they put the pieces of the puzzle together, someone actually observed that about a day before he was supposed to arrive, the elephants were moving through the reserve. And when his plane got delayed and he wasn't going to be home until a day or two later, they turned around and went back. And then again, when he was due in, they were in the main part at the lodge, because they know they're energetically connected to everything. And so our pets can communicate with each other. And, you know, just like people, some of them don't get along, you know, and that's normal and to be expected. And some pets don't get along with people. You know, Lord knows I've certainly helped some people who have had to rehome pets because it just wasn't a great match. And there's no fault in that. But, you know, they can choose to connect with each other, or they can choose not to. It just depends on how they're feeling and the mood they're in and the kinds of connections that they want to have. Lots and lots of stories exist of all kinds of animals connecting together and doing things like that for each other and with humans. So, you know, like I said, it's like conversations around you. You don't have to tune in. And, you know, sometimes you need a break. You know, sometimes you want to put headphones on if you're riding the bus or the train or something. You don't want to be exposed to all of it, and that's fine. You know, but it's there. That doesn't change the fact that it's there just because you put the headphones on. You know, all that information is still flowing around you in any given time. So, you know, they can tune in if they want to. But yeah, they form relationships and bonds with each other, you know, same species and interspecies, just like we do. And then the only real difference is, for the most part, they don't get a choice. You know, I mean, if they're feral or semi-feral, they get more options than they do when they're like a fully domesticated pet, but they don't get a choice as to who their companions are or, you know, where they go or what happens. They only, their life is dictated by what we do and what we make available to them. So, and you know, that can create some challenges, because if they're not getting enough exercise or mental stimulation, then yeah, they can develop some of the same challenges that we develop, you know, in terms of relating to people. You know, dogs are a great example. My dogs didn't socialize well because I didn't socialize them when they were young. Yeah, that was my fault. So no, they did not get along well with other dogs. There was only like one other dog in their entire lives that I was ever able to let them play with. And that was sort of a fluke, you know, that we discovered. But most of the time they would run barking up to other dogs like crazy. And that was how we were, because I didn't take the time to teach them how to have connections with other dogs close up and in person. So, you know, some of those skills are learned, but energetically, they're always connected.
Got you. Now, I know that you offer several services, and what I wanted to, just curious, because it's something that I'm interested in as well, is the things like essential oils. I know that from a human standpoint, it can really help with mood, with from a functional medicine type of situation. You offer something like that for pets and humans as well, don't you?
Yeah, the thing that I love about working with oils with animals is, like you said earlier, is they have no filter and they don't lie. So if they don't like something or something is not working for them, they're going to let you know it. And they're the ones that really showed me how beneficial the oils can be and how much they wanted certain oils. I'm very specific in particular in the type of oils, the brands of oils that I use, because there's a lot of stuff on the market that's not very good quality. And if you're using something that's not really pure and truly of the plant's essence, you know, it has other chemicals added to it, or it's been put through a heavy chemical process, then that may not be as healing as something or as beneficial as something that is pure. So, you know, you will see things out there like you can't use X oil with cats or whatever. And a lot of that, when you dig into the research, more often than not, there's no citation for the source of that oil. And so not all oils are created equally. And so you have to be particular, but the animals love them. You know, when my dogs, you know, sometimes they may seem to respond adversely because essential oils are intense. You know, they smell strong and our animals' noses are so much more powerful than ours are. So sometimes they can, you know, really react strong. But as I said, my dogs tended to be very hyper when the unfamiliar people were in the house. And I had a get together with some friends one time and we were sharing some oils. And the whole house smelled. We had opened so many bottles over and over again, the whole house smelled. And my dogs passed out. And not only did they pass out, but they were basically laying in the middle of the floor of the living room with all my friends around. And we're laughing and talking and carrying on. And they are just sacked out. And that was a testament to how the oils made them feel good. And they were relaxed. And they just fell asleep. And that was such unusual behavior for them. It's like, well, I know clearly where that came from. So yeah, I like to add in other modalities and things that we can reach for, and it benefits us and them. And I love to do custom blends for people and put together combinations of oils to support them and their pets. You know, if they have something emotionally going on or physically going on, You know, because I can intuitively select the oils based on whatever the situation is. And I've had great success with people just working with that. But yeah, I'd love to add in things. I mean, we all need support, right? There, you know, why struggle if we can make life easier? So I resonate a lot with the oils. They are a very intense modality. They're very strong. You know, like opening up a bottle, you know, you don't really want to stick it right under your nose because generally it's almost too much to smell like that. So it doesn't work for everybody. It's not for everyone, but like I said, I resonate with it and I really enjoy and how you get a lot of benefit. There's almost always something, you know, I almost always have something on me or around or, you know, something that I'm working with in the moment just to make life a little smoother and easier.
I'm all for that. You know, time goes so quickly. It's terrible, but I want to make sure people know how to reach you and how to access your services because you do a lot of things, even helping people with bereavement and when their pets have passed over. And I can tell you, I partook of that service and it, again, gave me so much peace. I feel like it brought me back to a good spot because I was mourning. So I want to find out, or I want everybody to know how to get your services and where they need to go.
Yeah, the most direct way is to go to my website. As you mentioned, it's soulpetconnections.com. That is connections with an S, S-O-U-L, Pet Connections. The big package that I have on there is really focused for people who find me because they have behavior challenges. But obviously, like you said, I do bereavement work. And I also love just doing connection work. So it is really beneficial to just connect with your pet, to work with an animal communicator and just have a check-in because I can pick up on things that are going on with your pet and subtle changes. And honestly, the pets love it because it's just a gift for them to be able to connect with someone and share what they love about their relationship with you, with someone else. And so, like I said, the you know, behavioral issues is sort of what's highlighted on my website because that's how most people find me, but that's not all I do. So, you know, if anyone is interested, just don't hesitate to reach out and, you know, I can put together something for you or figure out what your needs are and then we'll work from there. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, again, Soul Pet Connections, no hashes or spaces in that if you're searching on Facebook or Instagram, and you can follow me. I have a Facebook group and, you know, I'm kind of active on there sharing information and the antics of my own pets and challenges that I run into and things like that. So, yeah, I'm on the internet, so you can search me out and shoot me a message. I love to hear from people.
Ginny, thank you so much for joining me today. I had a blast, and I just feel, you know, you just taught us how much our pets can teach us, and we need to learn and we need to be better. And I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much. This has been a pleasure.
Always. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.